ABC Radio Australia.
Well, international fraud and scam centres have been the big news in 2025, with police raiding hundreds of operations in Cambodia and Thailand and arresting thousands of people. But fraudsters have also been making their presence felt in the Pacific, with the authorities in Palau raiding two online scam centres at the start of the year. Now, 12 months on, documents linking workers at those centres to local business houses have emerged. The paperwork came to light during an investigation by the Organised Crime and Corruption Reporting Team, and Emmanuel Stokes, who is part of that team, joins us on the line now from New Zealand. Emmanuel, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Now, before we chat about the new developments, tell me what authorities found when they raided the Kokoro Hotel in Koro.
Well, yeah, it was a pretty unpleasant scene. There were people sort of, I mean, I've seen video and photos from it. So you had people surrounding tables with a lot of food and laptops and some pretty pale-faced, tired-looking young people who appeared to be working on their computers.
Yeah, it sounds like pretty nasty stuff. So just for our listeners who might not be aware, how do scam centres typically work and sort of how do they, just generally speaking, how do they operate and go about the deceptive traps that they lay for unsuspecting victims?
Well, it depends what scam you're talking about. But in this case, the evidence that we saw in the documents that we found alleged that they were trying to get people to engage in gambling until they had basically spent all of their money and wasted it all engaging in these Chinese language gambling sites, often using things like cryptocurrency and essentially being emotionally manipulated into spending everything that they had, believing they would get great big winnings. But that's a pattern that you also see in things like pig butchering, which is, I think, something that you alluded to earlier, which were the things that you see in Southeast Asia with things like the big scam hubs that have been raided recently and have been subject to sanctions by the United States.
Yeah, it's an evocative term, pig butchering, that's for sure. So who typically runs these organizations? Is it organized crime? And if so, where do they get their workforce from?
Well, I mean, speaking in very general terms, it is normally organized crime. And in some cases, you see examples of human trafficking, people being tricked into going to places like Cambodia on the promise of some fantastic IT job or something like that to then suddenly find themselves essentially entrapped and having to raise, you know, a quota, a large amount of money by using investment scams, gambling scams, romance scams, that sort of thing. And the pig butchering element is a reference to the idea that you fatten the hog until it gets slaughtered. That means that you take, you keep on engaging with them over a long period of time until you take everything that they have. Although, I mean, in the cases in Palau, we see something which is similar, but a little bit different because they're primarily using gambling sites to be able to sort of trick people out of money, which it distinguishes itself from some of the things that we saw in Southeast Asia because it doesn't have the romance element to it.
I see. Now, as part of the OCCRP's investigation, documents have been uncovered linking the scam centre to local businesses in Palau. Can you take us through what was found in the document?
There were a lot of documents. In essence, there were two sites. There was one site in Mayans, which is to the west of Koror, and another that was inside of Koror, which is the main city of Palau. The first site, which was hit in early January, the second was hit in late January. The first site seemed to be doing illegal gambling, according to the assessments in the reports. The reports, by the way, came from government agencies and private firms that were commissioned by government agencies. And so in the first case in Baloo, you can see that the assessment of the private firm was that they were, based on devices that were seized from the site, was that they were essentially using psychological manipulation tactics to try and trick people to spend as much money as possible. And then they were using crypto, and there's some indication of involvement in a crypto scam where they drop worthless tokens into people's wallets which then they try to redeem, only to find that actually they had, you know, potentially information stolen and money taken. And in the second case, there's one national security document which says that the people were inside the building, according to their own claims, for months or even years. That is to say, the workers. And again, it was sort of gambling related stuff where people were being encouraged to spend as much money. But they also cloned websites, which is very interesting. Able to manipulate the back end, so people would see the value of what they held appearing to be a certain number when it could be changed remotely.
With those like psychological manipulation tactics, I mean, how does that typically work? Do they stick to a script or something, or have they sort of got certain strategies they employ, and do they target specific people at all, or is it all just random?
No, it's not random. It's very well organized. And in the case of the second building that they raided, you can see from the seized devices, there's some very detailed stuff, which looks like a highly professional, sophisticated HR management style operation, where they're talking about people taking leave and so on, and how they operate the back end of the website. But typically, with these sorts of things, people are, like in the pig butchering kind of model, fattened, as it were, and encouraged to engage and to trust the people that they're interacting with through Messenger, through encrypted apps and so on, to be able to think, oh no, I can gamble away and I'm going to be really successful and I'm going to make a lot of money, and they lose everything. And it can, you know, in the cases of the things with pig butchering in Southeast Asia, I mean, people can lose their entire life savings. So it has a very devastating effect.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're 12 months on now. What has happened to those workers who were arrested? And what about the one behind this operation? Have they faced justice?
Well, we don't know. This is part of the sort of one of the big unknowns. We don't know, what sort of criminal groups might be behind it, or what the involvement of, you know, other people might be, people who mentioned in the story, and it doesn't seem that there's an ongoing investigation into what they discovered. As far as we know, we couldn't find any evidence of that. So that's potentially frustrating, from the victim's point of view. And the people who were involved, as I understand it, there were at least 12 people detained, and it's unclear how many were deported.
Yeah, I mean, a country like Palau, it's obviously not the biggest country. Does it have, the resources to be able to carry out investigations of this nature and to root these operations out going forward?
Well, what I was told, and it's quoted in the piece, is that, in fact, yeah, they don't. They are, of course, making an effort to try and tackle it. But the cybercrime laws, I mean, this is part of the problem, is the legislation on the book is relatively minimal. So people who might want to exploit that loophole could have a bit of a bonanza. Although they do have lists of unwanted aliens, as they call them, which is people who've been discovered to be involved in something unsavory who aren't allowed back in the country.
Yeah.
But when there's lots of money to be made, I mean, I think it's quite plausible that, you know, they'll keep coming.
Yeah, well, it leads me into my next question. I mean, do you think this scam center in Palau was an isolated case, or do you think there might be others out there in the Pacific?
Well, having spoken to people who know about this sort of thing, I mean, certainly we were hearing that there's evidence of other cases, or that people are investigating other cases. And I suppose where there are sort of lacunae in the law, where people can sort of set themselves up, because there isn't, you know, there aren't laws to sort of prevent and deter this, it's more than possible that could be going on. And in the past, there were some pretty sizable raids in Palau alone on New Year's Eve in 2019, as we reported in the previous story. So, it's certainly something that I think remains an ongoing threat. And people are concerned, people in the government that I spoke to were concerned that it would continue in Palau as well.
Yes, well, from what I understand, these scam centres, they can't just be set up anywhere, can they? Like, they need good infrastructure, you know, good telecommunications, things like that, which I think Palau has got. But does that mean, I guess, you know, other countries who might be a bit poorer in those aspects might be spared from, you know, being targeted by these operations?
No, I don't think so necessarily, because people can get things like the Musk Starlink, and that's the classic thing that a lot of people use, and you can set yourself up with that pretty much anywhere. And recently there was a case which was reported by the UN Office on Drugs and Crime in Timor-Leste, which is, you know, getting pretty close to Australia, where they found what was a suspected scam center operation, which was using all of that, you know, in a free trade zone. So I think it will continue to proliferate, because actually if people have the money to be able to set up these sorts of operations, employ a lot of people, then they're going to clearly have the money to get Starlink and you know, set themselves up somewhere where they think they won't be discovered for long periods of time. So it seems to be, you know, an ongoing threat, I think.
Yeah, it's a bit of a question without notice coming up, but I mean, just listening to, you know, how these groups operate and the methods they use, particularly with the workforce aspect, with human trafficking and things like that, it makes me wonder what could happen, you know, once they get their hooks into things like AI and the potential damage an industry like this could cause. Is that something that you've seen reported on or investigated or anything like that?
Well, excuse me. So it's certainly a concern that people are talking about, and it's the combination of AI and crypto, right? Because I mean, crypto. If you have a company that's, you know, offshore and things are going through multiple jurisdictions with crypto, I mean, then you can't really prosecute somebody who's overseas, right? You can only sort of track it as far as it goes, and it's highly anonymized through networks like Tron, which we saw in one of the cases in Palau. Which makes it really, really difficult. And, of course, AI just makes it even more, incredibly hard to be able to counter. And it seems that quite a lot of the people who want to set themselves up in the Pacific might be doing it to target people in other jurisdictions. So then you don't have victims in the country itself, which also makes it sort of diabolically hard to prosecute. That's I think you've highlighted a major issue there. I mean, AI just complicates everything.
It's certainly not a comforting thought, that's for sure. And I guess with that, we'll leave the interview there because we are running out of time. But Emmanuel, thanks so much for joining us today on Pacific Beat.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Emmanuel Stokes, writer and reporter with the Organised Crime and Corruption Reporting Team. And he was talking with me there from New Zealand.